Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thereafter, the Lord delivered love of Krishna to His mother Sachidev, nullifying her offense at the feet of Advaita Acharya. Thus, there was a meeting with Advaita Acharya, who later had a vision of the Lord's universal form. Purport. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the throne of Vishnu in the house of Srivas Prabhu, and in a mood of his own, he said, "My mother has offended the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. Unless she nullifies this offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, it will not be possible for her to achieve love of Krishna." Hearing this, all the devotees went to bring Advaita Acharya there. While coming to see the Lord, Advaita Acharya was glorifying the characteristics of Mother Sachidevi. And thus upon arriving, he fell down on the ground in ecstasy. Then, under the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Sachidevi took advantage of this situation to touch Advaita Acharya's lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much pleased by his mother's action, and he said, "Now my mother's offense at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya has been rectified, and she may have love of Krishna without difficulty." By this example, Lord Chaitanya taught everyone that although one may be very much advanced in Krishna consciousness, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement will not bear fruit. We should therefore be very much conscious not to offend a Vaishnava. Chaitanya Charitamrita has described such an offense as follows. Yadi Vaishnava parada utehati mata Upadeva chindetara shukiyaya pata. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 156. As a mad elephant may trample all the plants in a garden, so by committing one offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one may spoil all the devotional service he has accumulated in his life. After this incident, one day, Advaita Acharya Prabhu requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to display the universal form he had kindly shown Arjuna. Lord Chaitanya agreed to this proposal, and Advaita Prabhu was fortunate enough to see the universal form of the Lord. Okay. Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tom Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopisha, Kopika Kanta, Radhakanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sutta Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Thereafter the Lord delivered love of Krishna to his mother Sachidevi, nullifying her offense at the feet of Advaita Acharya. Thus there was a meeting with Advaita Acharya, who later had a vision of the Lord's universal form. Nullifying the offense. So This chapter is entitled Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. So we hear about Navasachi Devi making an offense at the feet of Advaitaracharya. And the Lord has actually stated, my mother has offended the lotus feet of Advaitaracharya. Unless she nullifies this offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, it will not be possible for her to achieve love of Krishna. There's a scripture called the Nama Kormodi. And in that literature, it says that an offense at the lotus feet of a great Vaishnava is removed in two different ways. One way it's removed is by suffering the reaction or the result of that offense. That's one way. The other way that's removed is by getting the mercy of the devotee who has been offended. What struck me in this purport is this statement by Prabhupada. Let's see. By this example, Lord Chaitanya taught everyone that although one may be very much advanced in Krishna consciousness, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement will not bear fruit. I was on a journey with one devotee a few years ago. And he was talking about people, he was talking about devotees who fell down, who came into some difficulty. And his conclusion was, therefore you can't tell who's advanced. Because someone may be seemingly advanced and then they have all these difficulties. This purport is saying something different. In this purport, Prabhupada is saying that actually someone may be very advanced, but if they make an offense, they'll have difficulty. Okay? So it's not that someone is doing wonderful service, then they have difficulty, that means they were pretending. No. Sometimes the person is doing wonderful service and they are very advanced. Very advanced. But they make the mistake that is being spoken of here. And because they make the mistake that is being spoken of here, the result of their advanced devotional service is stolen from them. The exemplar in this example, in this respect, is Rupa Kaviraj. So Rupa Kaviraj is an exalted Vaishnava on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Okay? He is on the platform of Bhagavad Bhakti, according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. He is giving a discourse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and while giving the discourse, at the back of the room, there is a lady named Krishna Priya Takarani. She is seemingly listening to the Bhagavatam class, but at the same time, her lips are vibrating. Rupa Kaviraj calls her out. He says, and you could understand this, he says, how can you be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting at the same time? How is that possible? She explains that actually this is my habit. She says it does not impede me hearing the Bhagavatam. And she's telling the truth. Because she is an extremely exalted Vaishnavi. But because Rupa Kaviraj had the wrong attitude to her response, that was the beginning of his fall down. And his fall down took various stages. He became contemptuous towards his own guru. That was one aspect of the fall down. His intelligence became polluted. Therefore, he actually came up with a false doctrine, a false understanding of bhakti. That was another result of his contamination through this offense. Ultimately, he even lost his health. He lost his luster, he gained leprosy. He was driven out of Radhakund by the devotees. And then, when he passed away, he became a ghost who haunts those who offend Vaishnavas. To be honest, when we hear about offenses, it also can become one of those cliched things. And the danger is you become immunized. Yeah, I've heard it before. Yeah, you shouldn't make offenses. Right? Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, tell me something new. But the fact is, technically what offenses do is they actually stop you experiencing the mature fruit of your devotional service. And there are also subtle things that happen off the back of that. So one thing is it drives away the results of your own devotional service. So what happens? Someone has been engaging in devotional service for a long time, they're not seeing any results. What's going to happen to that person's faith? The faith will go down. And when your faith goes down, your drive to practice devotional service is also impaired. Because if you don't see that the effort that you're putting in is reaping some type of result, then you start questioning, does this actually work? In the conditioned state, that's the first question. The question doesn't become, what am I doing wrong? The question is, what's Krishna doing wrong? You understand? Obviously, there's something wrong with Krishna because I'm such a good devotee and I'm working really hard. What's wrong with him? Why isn't he giving me the fruit of all of my effort and sincerity? There is a misconception in our movement because we come from the outside world. There is a misconception that devotional service is the activity, but Krishna cares more for the consciousness. He cares more for the consciousness than the activity. Prabhupada writes in 7th Canto of Bhagavatam. I didn't have time to find the exact reference, but I remember reading this a few years ago when I was in Spain. There was a youth retreat. Prabhupada writes in 7th Canto of Bhagavatam that Krishna doesn't accept the service of someone who's offensive. Isn't that interesting? So technically, someone can be working so hard, doing so much activity, but we assume that Krishna accepts it. You understand the point? We take it for granted that Krishna accepts it, but he doesn't always accept it. He is completely free to accept or to reject whatever is done in his name if he's not pleased with the individual. Technically, in devotional service, we are offering the gift. But it is only Krishna's grace that he chooses to accept the gift. And the flourishing of devotional service is the flourishing that happens not by the endeavor, it is by the acceptance, the graceful acceptance of Krishna or those devotees who are in his line. It is because we are sometimes impersonal, we take Krishna for granted. We don't mean to. But we do in the conditioned state. We take him, I'm doing devotional service. Okay. According to whom? If it's accepted by Krishna, it's devotional service. If it's not accepted by Krishna, you are doing an activity. That is the difference. Because of the impersonalism, we forget we're dealing with a person. This person has feelings. He has actual feelings. That's what it means to be a real person. And what he dislikes is people offending his loved ones. Did you hear my point? It's not just defending devotees. Devotees means his loved ones. People who he really intimately cares about and he has a relationship with. Some of you in this room, you have children or family. I was reading on the way here, he becomes infuriated. When his devotees become offended, he becomes infuriated. The Lord that we are trying to worship is a person with transcendental feelings. And therefore, the acceleration in a devotee's life can come very easily. We just have to consider, how will Krishna feel about what I'm doing? Now, I want to take this a further step. Because the truth of the matter is, if you haven't been offended by devotees in this movement so far, don't worry, it's coming. Okay? It is one of the greatest tricks that happen in the movement when a person joins, is that they think that everyone is a pure devotee. Everyone in this movement is not a pure devotee. Right? I don't care what you've heard and what you've imagined. Everyone who joins this movement is not a pure devotee. So the power and the success of a devotee is the ability to discriminate and set in your consciousness and in your heart from day one how you are going to deal with the challenges and the conflicts that will arise when you associate in a movement of other conditioned living entities who are also striving, and get this, striving to different degrees to attain love of Godhead. Do you understand? Is that clear? By dint of the fact that they're in this movement, there is some impetus. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. Even if it's a minute impetus. But it's not that it's all equal. Be under no illusion. It's not that everyone is striving equally. To be very honest with you, one way you can consider a neophyte is they don't even know what they're doing to try and achieve love of Godhead. Because the neophyte doesn't actually understand the process properly. They have huge amounts of misconceptions which we carry over from our material mentality that we brought into the spiritual movement. And many of those misconceptions are unconscious. That means that we haven't yet heard or read something that actually reconfigures that misconception. The base one is what we mentioned. You come in, everyone's a pure devotee. Who told you that? No one told you that. Did you read that in anything in Scripture? You didn't read that in Scripture. Was that anywhere in Prabhupada's letters? No. Prabhupada's letters actually say the opposite. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj Ki Jai. Devotees complain to Prabhupada about the devotees in the movement. Right? You'll find various letters. And Prabhupada responded saying, you can't expect utopia. He said, actually, to expect that the other devotees are perfect is a form of impersonalism. So, you have to study your heart and your intelligence, your consciousness. Do you have in place a darshan, a vision of the devotees such that when you interact in some ways that upsets or hurts you, that you know how to digest it? Because otherwise, you will think that this idea of not making offenses is a myth. Right? I shouldn't make offenses, but this person's really upset me. I shouldn't make offenses, but this person treated me very, very badly. I shouldn't make offenses, but this person was rude, insulting, directly disrespectful. I shouldn't make offenses, but this person has actually manipulated me or exploited me. How do you deal in this situation is the exemplar that determines how you are going to get back home, back to Godhead. Do you understand? This Kali Yuga is characterized by two things. According to Shastra, this age of Kali is characterized by what? Quarrel and hypocrisy. Get it? That means that the atmosphere is saturated and the community of living entities anywhere on this planet is saturated by these two things. One, they're going to argue with you. Even if you say something that's completely shastric, some devotee is going to have something to say about what you said because it didn't feel good. Have you ever had that experience? Right? It's there in Shastra, it's there in black and white, but it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. You see this again and again. There's a difference between a doubt and a misgiving. A doubt is that you don't understand something in Shastra, but you're completely open, you want to understand. But you will have seen in our movement that there are many devotees who have a misgiving. I'm attached to this. So I don't want to hear you say this. Because when you say this, it starts to challenge my attachment. Does that make some sense? The Shastra is always correct, by the way. Even the bits that you don't like because they cut the false ego, it's still correct. The only thing is that there is also an etiquette, so the bits that cut the false ego are not meant to be used as a weapon against the other Vaishnavas. So you can even offend the devotees by quoting Shastra if your motive is wrong. Got it? Yeah? So it's not an excuse. See it like this. There are sometimes statements that have been made by Prabhupada, statements that are made in Shastra, which are very heavy. Statements about different types of bodies. Right? And they are true. They're true. That's a fact. They're actually 100% true. But you can't use them against anyone. Do you understand the point? See, Prabhupada will say heavy things about practically everyone, to be honest. And to quote a term from Iyengar, he said, we're not prejudiced, we hate everybody equally. Right? That's the point. We're not prejudiced, we actually hate everyone equally. Because the statements are there to cut the false ego. They're there to cut the false ego. Our false ego. At the same time, we're meant to inspire and encourage everyone to take the medicine properly. So when you say anything or do anything, the consideration or the way to get additional mercy from Krishna, how can I say this in such a way that this person will make maximum advancement? I am a brother and sister's keeper. So how I deal with every single person has a huge role to play in how Krishna is going to reciprocate. Do you understand that point? What you're looking for is the reciprocation of the Lord of your life. You're looking for the reciprocation of the Lord of your life. So Bhava Grahi Janardana. It's not enough to just do something. You have to be conscious of your motive. We have to be conscious of our motive. Because Krishna accepts the mood and the attitude and the modus operandi, the motivation behind our service. This is a huge area of opportunity for us as Vaishnavas. Now, in this particular pastime, Lord Chaitanya is pleased by the humble position that Mother Sachi has taken. She has touched the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. There's a very interesting thing that you notice in this purport, though, is that Advaita Acharya, as he is coming to that particular house, it says, while coming to see the Lord, Advaita Acharya was glorifying the characteristics of who? He was glorifying the characteristics of Mother Sachi Devi. So on the one hand, she's offended him, right? Lord Chaitanya says she's made an offense to Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is coming to see Lord Chaitanya. While he's coming to see Advaita Acharya, he's glorifying the person who's offended him. We need to get to that stage. But at the same time, and this is one of the things that plague our movement, at the same time, you cannot imitate, you cannot act above a level of your own consciousness. So devotion, humility, looks different at different stages of advancement, right? You're offended by someone, you're really hurt. I should be like Advaita Acharya. If you act in association with that person, you're going to be offensive. You need to take a step back so you can deal with your feelings. Improper association so you can come to a resolute consciousness so you can take things forward. That's at one level. At some higher level, you won't even take offense. At a higher stage of devotional service, someone's offending you, you can genuinely feel sorry that this person is saying or doing something, but you cannot imitate that. That means that you deal with others according to your level of advancement. You don't do it below your level of advancement. You don't try to imitate something above your level of advancement, because in both cases, you're going to run into difficulties. So the first thing to understand to really do well in spiritual life is, where are you? Don't worry so much where everyone else is. The first thing to worry about is, where am I? You understand the point? That means for most of us, we're going through the human experience. We are sadhakas. Sadhakas means we are aspiring transcendentalists. To be a Vaishnava is very high. Does that make some sense? To be a Vaishnava is a very exalted thing. It's not cheap. Because Krishna is not cheap. And he doesn't accept things very easily. Yeah? Prabhupada, the reason why we have a misconception that Krishna accepts everything very easily, well, actually he does also sometimes, but he has a choice, and sometimes Prabhupada does say that. Prabhupada uses two different definitions of devotional service. There is one definition, I can't remember who gives which, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a definition of devotional service. Balade Vidyabhushan also gives a definition of devotional service. One of them give a definition of devotional service which is very liberal. And it's liberal to be encouraging to everyone. Anything connected to Krishna is devotional service. Wow. Right? Even my eating the pizza that I bought from the Bhaktivedanta bakery is devotional service. Yes. Right? That is a very liberal definition. There is another definition which is more strict, which resonates that Anya Bilasta Shunyam Gyana Karmadhi Navritam Anukulina Krishna Nashilanam Bhakti Uttama. That means that devotional service, impelled by the desire to please Krishna and free of all tinges of karma and jnana, that is devotional service. That is a more strict definition. So both definitions are given by exalted personalities. Both definitions stand, but both definitions serve a different purpose. The more liberal definition encourages, especially the beginners, okay? Anything you do, and it resonates with these statements of the Bhagavad Gita. Anything you do, anything you offer, anything you sacrifice, do it as an offering for me. That is where it begins. But in the ultimate sense, what is the highest statement? Just surrender everything, right? Surrender everything and render service to the Supreme Personality of God. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. Right? Prabhupada says, the last instruction is the most important. So there are different stages that we are at. Therefore, Prabhupada says, you preach according to whose realization? Your realization. And you can extend that. You practice devotional service according to your realization. While being impelled by the higher standard that you keep in mind, and you know that this is where I need to go. And at the same time, when you're helping other people, you understand where they are, and you help them according to their standard. It has to be done very practically in order to move forward. So let's go back to this theme. How do you digest it? Let's open this up as a conversation. You're offended by a Vaishnava. Actually, let's take it back a step. Let's make it very real. Is there anyone in this room who's ever been offended by a devotee? Raise your hands. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So how do you digest it in a way that is in line with Guru Sadhu Shastra? Let me hear from you. What is the mindset, the attitude, the practices, the behaviors that allow you to digest it in such a way that you do not become offensive and that you are able to move forward in spiritual life in a healthy way? What are your answers? Yes. Okay, so one thing is an attitude which is in line with Shastra. Nothing happens to us by accident. And this is a very, really good point. There is absolutely nothing that happens to us coincidentally. That means that something that's happening to us, there's a reason for it. And one of the things that I find incredibly exciting is to ask Krishna, pray to Krishna, okay, this happened to me. Why did this happen? What is it that you want me to learn from this experience? In spiritual life, the only way up is down. The only way up is down. And Krishna knows that, so he will sometimes give you something that's just going to chip away at your false ego. And you're not going to like it at all. It's just chipping away at your false ego. You see, we talk about progress. Progress is like this. Progress is like you move in through the stages of spiritual life. At first, it's like a wall that hangs down from the sky. So the wall hangs down from the sky, and it hangs down up to this level. So if you want to get past this first wall, you actually go under it. But when you come to the next stage, there's another wall that hangs down. It hangs down further. So to go under that particular wall, you have to bend down even more. You go to the next stage of spiritual life, there's a wall hanging down, and it hangs down even further. To get past that wall, you have to crawl underneath it. At some point in spiritual life, you come to a wall, and the wall actually touches the ground. it is hanging down from the sky and it touches the ground. At that point, you can't go under it. You lie down at the wall and you just beg that whoever's on the other side will let you come through. You beg that whoever's on the other side of the wall, they will break the wall and take you through it because you don't have any access. That stage is love of God. Love of Krishna is a gift that is given by those who have it. And all of your sadhana, your begging, it is a gift. But as you progress, you have to become more humble. You bend down. You bend down even more, and it's just more humble, more humble, more humble, more humble. Humbler than a blade of grass, as Lord Chaitanya himself has personally stated. So it's always a working practice. And humility doesn't necessarily mean meekness in an external sense. Sometimes your humility will cause you to have to stand firm about something that you don't want to stand firm on. Humility means truthfulness. It does not mean doing what is easy. It does not mean doing what you feel like doing. Because we're conditioned living entities. In many cases, what we feel like doing is wrong. You understand? So the attitude, one attitude is, yes, this is coming upon me because of the results of my previous activities. Okay, what else do you do to digest an experience in a healthy way so you can move forward? Yes. Great point. And in many cases it is. In many cases it is. We have a narrative. Why that person looked at me a certain way. They must be upset with me, or they must be trying to be rude or negative. No. They just had something else on their mind. Don't take it personally. Oh, you know, she didn't talk to me. You know, I think she doesn't like... No. She's just busy doing her service. Don't worry about it. Relax. So what do you do in a situation like that? You think... I may have misunderstood. How can you take things further to clarify? You have to talk to the person. Prabhu, I noticed that last time I saw you, you didn't say anything. I was just wondering, have I done something to upset you? You invited us a question. Many people are scared to do that. Isn't it? Be honest. Many times you're scared to actually say, you know what? I'm just wondering, did I say something that upset you? Is there anything that I've done wrong? See, this is the thing to really understand. In many cases, we are still becoming human beings. Do you understand what I mean by that? We have this goal of transcendence, but in many cases, we're still trying to work out how to be a human being. In many cases. So, Vaishnavas usually work out of the mode of goodness. They usually work, but in Kali Yuga, it's not like that. In Kali Yuga, in many cases, they're trying to become humble en route to becoming transcendental. And that's what's behind all the politics and sometimes just downright stupid behavior that you see. It's people who are struggling to become humble. So one other thing that you can really do to help your spiritual life is set your expectations low. And understand that sometimes the people who are behaving badly... Oh, I get it. They're still working on the human. They're still trying to become human. Right? They stole your car. Oh, okay. Not quite. They're still not quite at the human platform yet. Right? Or still not quite in the mode of goodness. Yet. Doesn't matter that they wear tilak and wear dhoti or sari. That does not mean that in consciousness we're fully mature, even as humans, what to speak of transcendentalists. What else do you do to digest experiences properly so that you can make spiritual progress? Yes, and I'll come to you. Definitely. Sometimes you have to take a step back. See, the wonderful quality of our teachings is that if you're really attentive to our teachings, you will see that when something bad happens in Guru Sadhu in Shastra, it's not one lesson from that experience. If you study Shastra carefully, you will see a range of different circumstances and a range of different responses in those circumstances. The trick is to understand what's Krishna trying to teach me in this circumstance. I'll give you a few examples. So, let's see. King Anga
Fourth canto of Bhagavatam. He has a cruel son whose name is what? Vena. Okay. Now, what does Prabhupada say? What was the reason, according to Prabhupada, that Krishna allowed him to have a cruel son named Vena? What did Krishna want him to do? Become detached, and then he realized that. And what did he do as a result? He went where? To the forest in order to prepare to do what? To go back home, back to Godhead. So in one circumstance, something negative happens. Right? Have you ever had this? A situation happens, you ask some devotees for advice, and they just say, oh Prabhu, you know, you should just tolerate. You should stay there and tolerate. Ever had that experience? Absolutely no consideration about what Krishna wants, what Krishna is expecting. It's just one size fits all, tolerate. Now you should tolerate an attitude, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to stay there. You should try to understand what Krishna wants. If you understand Shastra, you will see that there's always a range of different results. Sometimes Krishna wants you to stay there and tolerate. Sometimes Krishna wants you to address the circumstance. Sometimes Krishna wants you to go somewhere else. You have to understand what does Krishna want in that circumstance. And if you do that, amazing things can open up to you in spiritual life. One of the key ways to understand what Krishna wants is to ask your spiritual master and your spiritual authorities. What do you think Krishna wants me to understand through this? Why do you think this circumstance happens? And be prayerful. Krishna wants to communicate with us and he wants what's best for us, but we don't listen. Do you understand? Our trouble is that we are inattentive. And interestingly enough, that inattention links to all of the offenses. Apipramadaha. The root cause of all offenses is what? Inattention. Inattention. And it doesn't just play out in terms of our chanting. It plays out in our entire spiritual life. I was reading this morning, there's a pastime. Prabhupada went to visit the Indian embassy with one devotee. As they were going out, Prabhupada asked the devotee, I think it was about a picture on the wall. The devotee didn't notice the picture. And Prabhupada chastised him for being inattentive. You didn't know this because you're inattentive. If we don't pay attention, it's very difficult to understand what Krishna wants you to understand. Therefore, Prabhupada says you have to become conscious before you can become Krishna conscious. Pay attention. Yeah? When you're reading the Shastra, pay attention. It's not a theory. It's for you. And it's giving you a whole range of different codes which will allow you to digest every single experience and move forward in a powerful way. Right? It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not some superficial document from 5,000 years ago. It's alive. This Shastra, everything that you read by Prabhupada, those books are alive. They are actually a direct, real-time transmission from the spiritual world. Right? And they give you knowledge, not only what you're reading on the page, but because they purify you, you get additional access to the super soul who's trying to tell you what to do about the experiences that you're going through. It is that powerful. How else should you respond when you're offended? Any other idea? Someone, you had your hand up. Sorry? Okay. Oh, great point. And this is really key. Sometimes the person who's giving you a difficult time, they are doing their best. You may not feel that way when you're being offended, when you're hurt. You may not feel that way, but if you take a step back and look at it properly, you can in many cases understand actually they're doing the best they can. In many cases, they are going through some difficulty themselves. Got it? Can you relate to that? Think about it in terms of yourself. Sometimes you've been offended. You've been offensive. Sometimes you've been rude to someone. Sometimes you've lashed out at someone. And it's because of something that was going on in your own life that you were struggling to deal with. Can anyone relate to that? Yes or no? Exactly. But we don't pay that same... We don't give that same respect to other people when they do something. We just think, what's wrong with them? But we all have experience where sometimes we were overloaded. Or we were struggling with something, and because we were struggling with something, we couldn't deal with something in our own lives, it then spilled over into how we treated another person. So remember that they're like us. Got it? That person is like me. That person sometimes goes through challenges that they can't handle. And sometimes when they go through challenges that they can't handle, they become bewildered, just like me. And when they become bewildered, sometimes they say and do something. Have you ever said or done something that you later regretted? Yes or no? Yeah. And therefore, sometimes that person says or does something that in their hearts of hearts, they actually felt sorry that they had said it. Do you understand? They were sorry that they did it. And guess what? Just like me, sometimes they don't have the humility to do what? To say sorry. Have you ever done that? You offended someone and you thought, you know what? I hope they didn't notice. Isn't it? I hope they didn't notice. Because if they didn't notice, I won't have to say anything. Right? Yep. Be honest. Yes or no? Yeah. Right? And then you see them next time and you're trying to work out if they actually realize that you'd said something offensive. Did they hear what I said about them? They seem okay. Maybe they didn't hear. In that case, it's okay. Let's be friends and carry on. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. These attitudes are what's going to keep you alive in this movement. Be very clear about this. People often leave. It's not because of the philosophy. They don't find some other philosophy. It's that they struggle to associate and to exist and coexist in the association of Vaishnavas. Are you clear on that? This is your survival kit. What else allows you to stay and to thrive in the association of Vaishnavas when you feel offended? Any other offerings from the floor? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They could be very much, well, everyone generally is under the modes of material nature. So under those modes, they're forced to act in a way that they shouldn't. What role does association play in helping you to navigate these difficulties? How does your association help you to navigate through difficulties in spiritual life and through being offended? Any ideas? And why is that important? Okay, they can give you perspective. Any other reason why having someone to reveal your mind to is important? Yes. Yep. Definitely. Just by their presence, actually, it can have a purifying effect. Good. Any other reason why revealing your mind is so important and how it helps you to navigate this? Yes. Okay. Good. Interesting. Any other point? Yes. They can help. So, again, think back to a time where you felt hurt or offended. Did it feel good to have someone just commiserate with you and say, I'm sorry you feel that way? Yes or no? Yeah. And when you felt understood and when you felt some empathy, did it help you to move forward? Yes or no? Yeah. This is a thing to always remember. We're dealing with real people. Do not, in the name of transcendence, neglect the fact you're helping Vaishnavas move through the human experience. So when someone is hurt, don't start quoting Shastra first of all. Give them, seriously. I mean, see, this is what I mean by not understanding even basic human dealings. Have some empathy to the person. And don't think that that empathy is materialistic. Think that that empathy is going to help them to move forward. You speak to those who were around Prabhupada. You ask them, why did you stay in Krishna consciousness? What kept you going? Did you hear them say philosophy? What did they say was the thing about Prabhupada that kept them going? His dealings with them. Do you understand? It's the way that Prabhupada dealt with them. The love he showed for them. The encouragement. The care. The service. The sacrifice that he made for them. And he, as our leader, is expecting each and every single one of us to emulate that same example. Okay? You can speak whatever philosophy you want, but they want to see how you behave. That's not to minimize the philosophy. The philosophy is exalted, but for people to really feel it, they need to see it enacted in loving ways in the association of Vaishnavas. In fact, I'll take it further. Look at this as a point. When you become enraged and really disturbed and upset by people being rude to you, in many cases, it's because you're scared that what they're touching upon is that you yourself are not valuable, is that you yourself are not loved and you're unlovable. Someone who's grown up in an environment where they feel very deeply loved and they feel very deeply secure, are they so easily disturbed when people are rude to them? Be honest. No. Why not? They're secure in their heart. They have self-worth. So bear in mind that in many cases, our overreaction is also an indication of our own insecurities. Can anyone resonate with that? Yeah? So this is why the loving association of Vaishnavas is so important. The love you give is actually strengthening each person. By dealing with the Vaishnavas properly, by proper encouragement with the Vaishnavas, you make them so strong that when they become offended, they just brush it off. It's not a big deal. They probably had a bad day, right? And that's not a theory. There are devotees who have that consciousness. They actually have that on a day-by-day basis. And if you don't have it, we can get there. Do you understand? But it's not a cheap thing. That's why everything you say and do in the association is either drawing even greater strength to you or is tearing you down. The love you give pursues you. The way we treat other Vaishnavas is also reflective of how we are treating ourselves. And this, therefore, as devotees, is an extraordinary window of opportunity that practically most of us haven't even bothered to explore. It's an extraordinary window of opportunity. How I can strengthen and make all of the devotees in my association stronger, more secure, more deep, more encouraged, more inspired in spiritual life. Knowing, as Krishna says himself, that those who claim to be my devotees, they are not my devotees. He says that those who are devotees of who? My devotees. He says, those who are devotees are my devotees, they are actually my devotees. It's all about the family. You understand? It's all about how we are treating those who are intimately dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How you treat his family members has a huge impact and role to play on how he's going to reciprocate with each and every single one of us, not just now, but at practically every single stage of our spiritual lives. So we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. When you get overly disturbed, yes, you may be upset with the person. No one's asking you to be in denial. Sometimes the devotees behave in ways which are terrible, immoral, unethical, and sometimes just downright foolish. But they're still our family members. That's the first thing. They're still our family. That's the first point. But our overreaction to things is also Krishna's way of showing us, you know what? You're not so internally grounded. You understand? Yes, they did something wrong. But the fact that you are so disturbed by it and you cannot let go of it, even though it happened a year ago, happened 2 years ago, happened 5 years ago, happened 10 years ago, also says something about your own lack of groundedness and your own weakness of consciousness. Do you want to work on this? There's a very amazing thing that you can understand if you reflect on your spiritual life carefully. You can clearly understand that the efforts, the amount of energy that we pump into trying to get other people to change, if we were to use a fraction of that energy to make ourselves internally strong, you would be able to conquer the world. Do you understand? You know, this person, I'm going to force that person to change. I'm going to force this person to change. I'm going to go on a campaign to stop that person. If you just turn that energy to work on yourself, you wouldn't be disturbed by anyone. So it's a trick of Maya. Maya thinks these guys are so stupid, I can get them to continue to look outside and to try and change the world. But if they just change themselves, they'd have so much potency that everything else would fall into line. We have to make sure that none of them come to that understanding. Under no circumstances should any of the devotees in the ISKCON movement work on themselves. Under no circumstances. Let's embroil them in politics. Let's embroil them in this external activity, that external activity. The real devotional service is an outgrowth of the consciousness. When you see devotional service where year upon year the quality is high, deep, and the person is having spiritual experiences off the back of that, it is an outgrowth of the internal work that the person has done. Right? But that doesn't mean internal versus external. We do both, because the external activities also feed into the internal consciousness. I recall very strongly the class that Tamal Krishnamaraj gave here, 2001 Gaurapanim. He explained the link. So Prabhupada makes this statement. He says, those who engage in the Sankirtan movement, by engaging in the Sankirtan movement, that is non-different from entering to the Rasalila. Non-different. Non-different. And he goes on to explain how that works. He says that the acharyas understand the difference between lust and love, as is explained by Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lust is the desire to gratify our senses. Love is the desire to gratify whose senses? Krishna's senses. But it's not so easy to come to that platform of love. In order to come to the platform of love, one needs a service that is so deep and so broad that in doing that service, it will squeeze out of the living entity every last vestige of selfishness. And that service that will squeeze out of us every last vestige of selfishness is the mission to save the entire world. You understand? Therefore, there are no accidents. Therefore, even the devotees who are giving you a hard time, they are a blessing sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have personal experience. I've seen in my own life many devotees who gave me a hard time. To be honest with you, I didn't want to be humble, but they forced me to be humble, right? Because it just beat you up. Beat you up. And it's like, okay, I'm not so great. Just do things that really just pull you back down to earth. You don't want to go back down to earth. You want to be up there in the clouds. Krishna's like, no, we're not having it. You are coming back down. Whether you like it or not, bang, right? You're coming back down, and you're coming back down quickly. Yeah? He's not stupid. He knows what each and every one of us need. We know what we want. He knows what we need. And because his compassion is deep, it's not superficial. Our superficial compassion leads us oftentimes to just try to flatter people's egos. But if we really develop as a loving community, you know what? It's going to get intense. If we really develop as a loving community, we are sometimes going to have to say, Prabhu, you know, to be honest with you, I care about you. I'm concerned about this. We're going to pull our cards on the table. I don't think this is actually the healthiest way to proceed in this particular area. And sometimes that's not going to be popular. But you know what? Just think about your own character. How would it feel to live a life where you've got such strength of character, you're so deep that you actually, in every association, you give the very best you can. And you genuinely say what is loving and deep and careful and what will really help that person in the deepest way. How would you feel about yourself if you lived that day to day? We have so many windows of opportunity. This spiritual life is incredibly exciting. It is incredibly exciting. And the nucleus of that excitement is your personal spiritual growth and transformation. And it is an invitation that Krishna is giving you moment by moment. Moment by moment. I'm going to give you a difficulty. How are you going to deal in this situation? Right? I'm going to give you a chance to work internally. Why do I get so disturbed by this? What can I do to work on myself so the next time I don't get disturbed? And you know what's amazing? When you work on yourself and then the next time you're in a similar situation, it doesn't affect you. And you're like, wow. You're even shocked to see how you're a different person. We can do this. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas who encourage us and strengthen us, you can continually, year upon year, become a deeper and unbelievably stronger and more powerful individual. Would you like to become that person? Okay, so if you want that, it's within your reach, but you have to work for it. And Krishna will help that transformation because God helps those who help themselves. But if you don't want it, he's not going to force it on you. We're disturbed by other people's behavior in the wrong way. In the pastime of Bhrigu Muni, it is instructive. First of all, he offends Lord Shiva. He offends Lord Brahma. Both of them become disturbed. When he offends Lord Vishnu, what did Lord Vishnu say? Who remembers that pastime? What did Lord Vishnu say? Yeah, is your feet okay? You've kicked my chest. I've got such a hard chest. How is your feet? And he understood by this the love of Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, who is the supreme. Vishnu is the supreme. Because this person didn't take offense. And even when he was offended, he was concerned for me. You can get to that stage. We can get to that stage. But it's about time that we as devotees not only do the external service of trying to spread Krishna consciousness, that should always go on, but take some time to work on yourself. Be honest with yourself. That will also take us in tremendous directions. Our journey as Vaishnavas is twofold. Our journey is without and our journey is within. Okay. Let's stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jani Tagore Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay. Any questions or comments before we stop?